we're going to get started. Sweet. And we're wrapping up the first part of our discipleship lessons this morning. Next week, we'll begin a new series of lessons. But this morning, we're looking at the topic of servanthood. And this is lesson number 10 in this series. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and just ask Him to bless our time together this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You again for this day. And Father, we do thank You for Your love, Your mercy, Your grace towards us. And Lord, we just thank You for this opportunity we have to come and gather in Your house on a Sunday morning to open Your Word, see truths that might help us be the Christian and the church You'd have us to be. Father, help us to take this lesson to heart. We pray You be with the morning service still yet to follow. Be with those still coming in. And Lord, we just pray that You would give us a good day, even with the setbacks. We pray that everything that is said and done this morning would be done to Your honor, Your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Thank you. And we're going to be there. Psalm 100 this morning. Psalm 100. And who would like to read there for us verse number 2? Psalm 100 and verse number 2. Miss Martha, go ahead. Oh, no, you're good. Go ahead.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing.
All right. So the part we want to focus on this morning is that first part where the verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. That's what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about servanthood. We're talking about Christian service. And, you know, in all labor, hopefully, you know, there's profit. You go to work, come the end of the week or every 2 weeks, depending on what your pay schedule is. You're hoping that when you open up your bank account that Thursday or Friday morning, whenever it is you get paid, that your paycheck is going to be there. And in labor, there's profit. But when we start to think about, you know, the Lord's work and serving God and doing the work of the ministry, there really is profit in the Lord's work. And 1 Corinthians 15:58 tells us, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So that first fill in the blank there is the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor, that second fill in the blank is labor, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So as the Apostle Paul, he's closing out the book of 1 Corinthians and he's encouraging the Corinthian believers to be steadfast, to stand, be unmovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. So the things we do for the Lord, it's not empty. It's not vanity. It's not something that we just do to pass the time. There's actual profit in serving the Lord. And, you know, today's a prime example. We've had some setbacks and some things haven't gone right. But, you know, we'll go home at the end of the day, and Lord willing, we'll be able to look back on the day, and we'll still be able to see the Lord's blessings on the day, despite the setbacks. And the truth is, and no matter what we do, there's always going to be setbacks. But the key is not to focus on the setbacks. The key is to look at the blessings that come as a result of the work. And so what a person does for the world, between, you know, 9 and 5, that's the average job. That's to make a living. But what we do beyond that for the Lord's work, you know, while our everyday job, that gets us our living here on earth, when we do the Lord's work and we're serving the Lord and we're serving God, the Bible tells us that we're laying up treasures in heaven that we might receive those one day. And so we think about church. And we think about ministry, and, you know, the church ministry is just that. It's work. Paul, there in 1 Timothy 3:1, in the qualifications for being a pastor, he said there, if a man desire the office of a bishop or the office of pastor, he desireth a good work. And so that third fill in the blank there is work. And so, you know, now there are days that it doesn't necessarily feel like a good work. It doesn't necessarily feel like, you know, you want to get up and deal with people or deal with situations that pop up, but Paul still says at the end of the day, he that desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And so we go back and we think about Paul's conversion when he was on the road to Damascus. He was still Saul. He was still that persecutor of Christians, perhaps the greatest persecutor of Christians known to ever live. And the Lord told him in Acts 26:16, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. To make thee a minister and a witness. And so from the time Paul was saved, God's purpose for him was to be a servant, and was for him to be a soul winner, was for him to share his faith, to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Now, there are several ways this morning that a person can be a servant in the Lord's work. Not everybody is going to be a pastor. Not everybody is going to be a deacon. Not everybody is going to be a Sunday school teacher. Not everybody's going to have, you know, the quote-unquote, you know, the glamorous jobs within the church. But some opportunities of service, you know, they might include ministries with a nursing home or a retirement home, or you might be able to get into a jail or a prison as a minister. I'm sure we can all get into jail or prison if we wanted to. You know, Sunday school classes, junior church, bus routes, going out, picking up men and women, boys and girls. Martha, she goes to jail, right? Yeah, no. You know, one important work of the ministry that helps the church keep a good testimony in the community, you know, is maintenance of the church building and grounds. And everybody can have a place for that. Everybody is able to serve there. Charles Spurgeon, he once said this. He said, there are no crown wearers in heaven who are not cross wearers or cross bearers below. In other words, if you don't bear your cross while you're here in this part of the life, then we're not going to have crowns waiting for us when we get into heaven. And so there are several things we want to see this morning. Number one, we want to see the servant's master. We want to see the servant's master. And so the Bible speaks of two types of servants. It speaks of a bond servant and a hired servant. And you see that in Leviticus chapter 25. The hired servant, the Bible tells us, he works specific hours. He has specific tasks. A bond servant is one who is owned by his master for any task. And the Christian, you and I, we're that second type of servant. We're the bond servant. And according to 1 Corinthians 7:23, the Bible says, ye are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. And so the Bible says that before salvation, we were the servants of sin. Romans 6:17 tells us that. But after salvation, well, now as a Christian, being born again, well, now we have a new master. Romans 6:22, the Bible says, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, that fill in the blank there, servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Galatians 1:10, the Bible says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And so that second fill in the blank under Galatians is the servant of Christ. And so we see, after we got saved, we now become this bond servant. We are God's to do whatever it is he tells us to do. We are his servant. He is our master. And so we see, number one, we see the servant's master. Then secondly, this morning, we see the servant's mentor. We see the servant's mentor. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so the question becomes, well, of what mind was Christ? Well, his mind was to be a servant. Christ, remember, he had all of the rights He had all of the authority of God. He was God come in the flesh. But yet he chose, when he came to this earth, to be a humble servant, to take on the form of a servant. And we've said before, that word Christian, it means little Christ. We're to mimic Christ. We're to be like Christ. And so, as we think about that, how much more then should the Christian, who we are made in the likeness, we are made in the image of God, we're joint heir with Christ. And so if that is who we are, if that's who we're made in, then we should be willing to be a servant, because Christ himself was a servant. And then we see Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, there on page 2 of your paper. The Bible says, "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant." And took on him the form of a servant. Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." And that second fill in the blank there on your second page, minister. John 13:15, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." And so that third fill in the blank is done to you. So not only do we have a master who is Lord, but we have a mentor who is Lord. He showed us first what it was meant and what it was to be a servant, and we're to take on that role. We're to be like him. And then we see, thirdly and finally this morning, we see the servant's mandate. We see the servant's mandate. And there are many things that the Lord asks his children to do as his servants. Believers should labor. We should work for him because we want to please him. We don't work for him to earn our salvation. We don't work for him to earn a special place in his kingdom. We serve him. We work for him because we love him and because we want to please him. 2 Corinthians 5:9, the Bible says, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." That fill in the blank there under 2 Corinthians 5:9, accepted of him. And so we see there are different kinds of servants in the Bible that can be studied to find what is required of servants. Number one, there's the good and faithful servant. There's the good and faithful servant there in Matthew chapter 25. And this is the type of servant who they take the abilities God has given him and they work to reproduce those things in the lives of other people. Good character, trustworthiness would be able to describe this man. A reliable servant who does right. You know, that's hard to find. And the Lord is looking for a servant who will use what God has given him, not for his glory, not for what he can get out of it, but to use it for God's glory and to bring him the praise, the honor, the glory that is due him. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10, the Bible says there, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful." So both those fill in the blanks there is that word faithful. "Also in much, and be that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." And then 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And so there's that third fill in the blank, faithful. You know, there's a lot of things you and I can't do. But there's one thing we can do, and there's one thing we can strive to be, and that is faithful for the Lord's honor and his glory. You know, as you go across the nation and you come across some graves for American soldiers, so on some of these graves will be written the word unknown. Of course, we know there's the tomb of the unknown soldier there in Arlington National Park. And And on that grave appear the words, known only to God. Known only to God. You know, many of God's children have served Christ nobly. They've served Christ sacrificially. And they've done so without ever being recognized by man. Nobody ever knows what maybe you've done for the Lord. Nobody ever knows maybe what you've known or what you've done for Christ. But God knows what you've done for God. Christ knows what you've done for Christ. And, you know, now if I were to ask you, do you know the name D.L. Moody? Everybody knows the name D.L. Moody. Now, if I were to ask you if you knew the name Richard Kimball, not everybody would know that name. Well, Richard Kimball was the Sunday school teacher that led one young boy to Christ, and then that had a trickle-down effect to where D.L. Moody, he eventually got saved. Now, everybody knows D.L. Moody. Not too many people know that Sunday school teacher that was just faithful to teach their class, and then they had a small part in perhaps one of the most famous preachers in the world getting saved and doing countless good things for Christ. And so maybe to this morning, you're known only to God. Really, there's nothing better to be than known to God. If nobody else knows you, nobody else knows what you did, God knows what you did.
Or not to be cast away, for I do not know you.
What's that?
Wasn't there a verse that says that to be cast away is I do not know you?
Yeah, yeah. There, when we stand before the judgment seat, there's going to be people that say, well, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And, you know, and so, you know, again, what would we rather be, known by man or known by God? You know, I'd rather be known by, you know, by God, and that's what we should want. And though their names are not known to man, they are known by the Heavenly Father. And as believers, we ought to labor to receive the praise of the Father in heaven to one day hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we should all want to hear one day when we get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we have the good and faithful servant. Then we have the profitable servant there in Luke chapter 17. And this servant is defined by what the Bible says is an unprofitable servant. And Jesus said, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So a profitable servant can be defined as one who goes above and beyond his duty, doing that which is not required. So Jesus said the unprofitable servant, they look at what they have to do, and they do their duty. And, you know, that's good. They do their duty, they get their job done, but that's all they do. They don't go above and beyond. They don't go, the Bible talks about being a second-mile Christian. They don't go that second mile. They just do the bare minimum. They do their duty. They stay under the radar. But a Christian, we must live right and remember that our labor for Christ should be more out of love than obligation. Our love, our duty, our service should be more out of love than duty. And some Christians, they live right on the line, and they never do anything more than what is expected of them to do. 1 John 4:19, the Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. And so that fill in the blank there, we love him because he first loved us. And so we have here, we have the good and faithful servant, we have the profitable servant, and then we have, thirdly and finally, we have the working servant. We have the working servant. And a working servant is the opposite of the non-working servant. The working servant is the opposite of the lazy, of the sleeping, the idle servant who Again, you know, we think about that unprofitable servant who does just the bare minimum. Now, not every Christian is a working servant, but every Christian must give an account for himself to the Lord. We see that in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. And then Luke 12:43, the Bible says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." And so that fill in the blank there, that word is doing. And then Mark chapter 13 and verse 34, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch." And so we see the third type of servant in the Bible is that working servant. And so we see here this morning from the Bible that no man can serve two masters. Luke 16 tells us that. Everyone chooses whom he will serve. Paul told us in Romans 6:16 that to whom ye shield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. And God, and that's why our opening verse, serve the Lord with gladness. There are going to be days you feel like pulling out your hair. There are going to be days that you know, again, there are going to be setbacks. That's just the work of the ministry. That's just the work of the church. But God rewards those who faithfully serve him through the setbacks. Mark chapter 10 tells us that. And John 12:26, the Bible says, "If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." And so this morning, as we think about being a disciple, one of the best ways we can be a disciple is by being a servant of the Lord and serving him with gladness. And when we get down to it, there really is no greater work than serving the Lord, even on those days that it doesn't feel like the greatest of work. And so that concludes our first set of discipleship lessons, the Grow in Grace. Next week, we're going to start Add to Your Faith. And we're looking forward to that. Things that we need to now add to what it means to be a Christian. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?